Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching, episode 234. I'm in the woods today, finishing up my prayer time, and thought I'd record a few thoughts based on the last 2 days. Some of you will know, I've been away for a personal spiritual retreat. Sunday night to Tuesday night, down in the Salisbury area, for those of you who know that area, the south of England. And I went away because of a number of things going on in my life and around me in church life, just a mixture of church things, personal spiritual things, and trying to discern in what way God would wish to prepare me for the future, given the challenges of the COVID-19 virus crisis at the moment, the intensity of the racism, debate, discussions, and injustices surrounding that. And there's a lot been crowding into my life and my mind, not just for me, I'm sure, but for many of us, and seemed like a good time to get away. My first overnight spiritual retreat was in 2003, in fact, July, exactly the same time I'm doing this one. And it was prompted by a crisis in our churches, and was, for those of you who know about that situation, and also some personal challenges. And I spent, I think, 3 days away, mostly in Wales. And it was transformational in preparing me for the next several years. And I've done a few overnight retreats since then, but I haven't done one for quite a while. And I do take some regular Sabbath days, as I call them. I try to do it on the first Monday of the month to spend at least the whole morning praying, reading, and thinking and talking things over with God. Sometimes more than just the morning, but at least that. But I realize that I've missed the overnight element. Normally I'd book a Christian retreat center, but because of COVID, none of them are open yet. So I booked into an Airbnb in a really quiet spot. It was beautiful and very, very quiet. And in doing so, I spent time then walking on the cliffs of the south coast of England and praying there. And then on the Monday and then yesterday, Tuesday, walking through the countryside following a circular walk, and praying again and talking to God and listening as best I can to God as well. I also read 2 books while I was gone. I did a fair bit of reading, and they're both audio books. One of them by Dallas Willard on Psalm 23, A Life Without a Lack, that I've already read, but I was rereading, which is tremendously helpful. Do I really believe that I lack nothing? Really. And also a book by Mark Comer called, now I'm going to get this wrong now, The Relentless Elimination of Hurry, or The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, one or the other. It's a book I highly recommend, because it's to do with not just the details of spiritual practices, which he does go into, Sabbaths and solitude and similar things, but also because it addresses the root of a lot of our distraction as well. Thoroughly recommend it, whether you read the book or listen to the audiobook. It's one of those books about the ancient spiritual disciplines, but in many ways for a modern audience. Really good, really helpful. But the main thing that really struck me this time was, I prayed through Psalm 18. I realized, going back to my notes from my retreat in 2003, that one of the key elements was praying through, thinking through Psalm 18. And I reread my notes and thought, well, I must do the same thing this time. And so when I went to the cliffs on Monday, nice strong wind blowing, beautiful day actually, kestrels hovering below me, it was really wonderful. Well, I took out Psalm 18 and prayed through it. And I can't go through it all now because it's one of the longer psalms. It's how many verses? 50 verses. But it really was wonderful to go back through it and pray through it and think about what I've learned in the last 17 years since the last time I took a retreat like this. And I could see the faithfulness of God. I could see the way that he has helped me and sustained me. And one verse that really stood out to me is this one. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. He shields all who take refuge in him. During this COVID-19 crisis, there's a lot of talk about shielding. People are shielding themselves if they're particularly vulnerable to infection, or they're being shielded by other people who are helping them, but they themselves are being very careful about the amount of contact they have with other people because of their proximity to the person who is vulnerable. Indeed, there's a lady who has been doing some Bible studies with us in the Watford Church, and she's likely to get baptized in the next few days, which is wonderful. But she's shielding for her mother, who has leukemia, and therefore her baptism will only have the minimum attendance at the baptism, because we don't want to risk passing anything on to her, and she's got to be careful for her mother, and that's fine, and still the angels will rejoice in their thousands upon thousands, even if there aren't physically many of us actually at her baptism. But she's got to be responsible. She's shielding. And it made me think about the fact that that compassion, that care that this lady has for her mother, and many of us have for people that we're shielding, that's a wonderful expression of love. And how lucky her mother is that her daughter would take such care to make sure that she was shielding her mother. And how honest it is of her mother to acknowledge her need for being shielded. And we're in this position with God where we really need his shielding. We're weak. Now we're wonderful and glorious and amazing according to God. How incredible we are. We've been made by him and we are like him. We're made in his image. But yet, of course, we are weak and we need shielding. He shields all who take refuge in him. He shields all. He shields me and you. And a human person like this lady shielding her mother is going to do her best, but she's not a perfect shield. Her mother could still somehow be infected. There's various ways that could happen still. But God's shielding is complete, perfect. There's no way possibly that he will fail in his shielding. And as vulnerable as I am, you know, we are poor in spirit, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are poor in spirit. We are weak, weak vessels, clay pots. We're strong in our weakness, but that's God's strength in us, right? We are weak, and I feel it. And we're going away on this retreat and praying and being with God, maybe more aware of my weakness as well as God's strength. And I think that's a healthy thing. God is our shield. He shields all who take refuge in him. Now, we need to take refuge in him. I suspect that's something connected with the John 15 command to abide in Christ. That we really dwell in him. That we get our strength, our life from him. That He is the one that is the source of our strength, not our gifts, not our finances, not our positions, but Jesus himself. And then we are shielded because we take refuge. And if you take refuge somewhere, you very decisively have gone there. You've gone there deliberately. You don't find yourself accidentally in a refuge. You go there because you know you need to be in a place of refuge. You know you are otherwise in great danger. And part of the purpose of our times of quiet with God is to remind ourselves and to deliberately place ourselves in this place of safety with God. That we say, God, I'm stepping into, back into this refuge, your refuge. And of course, we're always with God, and he's always with us in many ways. But if we forget this, if we don't deliberately do this, then we get weaker because we're not so conscious of his presence with us and his shielding that's available to us. He shields us. And so, just a couple of thoughts for today. Firstly, why not perhaps yourself pray through Psalm 18 or reflect on this particular verse, verse 30. His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. Could that be a good verse on which to meditate and think about God's shielding of you? But secondly, I wonder whether you could take an overnight personal spiritual retreat. I know that my schedule as working for the church means that I have a bit more flexibility than most people, so I'm aware of that, and I feel very blessed by that, and the fact that Penny was able to cover things at home for me. But perhaps if you planned it well in advance, you could arrange it. Take a day off work, maybe two. Arrange for other people to help you with other responsibilities you have. Maybe you could just do a whole day. If you can do a night, I'd recommend it. Two, if you possibly can. It makes a big difference to being able to be just in a different place, seeing different things, experiencing things differently, and having that space. If you'd like some advice about how to have an effective spiritual retreat, then give me a shout. I'm not saying I'm the expert, and I've not done it many, many times, but I have learned a few lessons along the way. So, what do you think about that? Could you take a retreat? Have you taken one? If you have, what worked for you? What helped you? I'd be really interested to know, and I'm sure so would everybody else who listens to these podcasts. I'm going to sign off now. Head home, get some breakfast, open my Bible. Going to get back into Galatians, which is where I'm focused at the moment, using the podcasts by my friend Andy Boachi as my inspiration for my study of Galatians at the moment. I do hope you have a wonderful time of quiet with God today or any day every day this week. Just bear in mind how fortunate we are that we have a God whose way is perfect, that his word is flawless, and that he shields all who take refuge in him. Until the next time, take care and God bless.